everyone. You are listening to the Frotcast. I am Vince Mancini. It is Tuesday, November 25th, Thanksgiving week 2025. I'm here with him. You know him, you love him. He's the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
I call your mom the Thanksgiving turkey because I'm currently stuffing her. Stuffing her.
When's the last time you stuffed a turkey?
Last year.
Oh, yeah?
I'm the turkey guy in the fam, bro.
You actually put the stuffing in the turkey?
Not only do I put the stuffing in the turkey, I make the stuffing as well.
But separate? Or you make the stuffing and
you put it...
Of course
I make it separate, you fucking idiot.
Well, that's what I'm asking. You put it inside the turkey.
Yeah, I put it inside the turkey after I make the stuffing. And then I also put a little extra into a little pan.
Okay.
Oh, should I have started with a Lum song? Is that, you know, I figured people want to switch it up with some Henny Youngman-esque material. I'm trying to Don Rickles opening here.
I wanted to know your genuine thoughts on turkey. I mean, dressing. It's usually dressing when it's outside of the bird, right? And then
dressing?
Even though we sort of call it stuffing, but then...
Oh,
stuffing goes actually inside the bird.
Look, I'm not some sort
of foodie.
I'm
sort of anti-turkey in general, but
what the fuck? Get out of here. Go back to Italy or Armenia.
I mean, a prime rib is just better. It's just, I know, it's better. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's true, too.
Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong or right. I think you
think I'm wrong or right?
I think you're taking a long time to introduce Brendan, who's here.
What are you, like... He's itching to talk. Heads? Do you have a giant suit that you're going to wear?
I don't think you're wrong or right. I'm in between. I am a fucking centrist.
Also, third mic, human giant, future NFL Hall of Famer, Brendan.
They call me bad political opinions because me and your uncle are going at it.
Okay. All right.
What?
Okay.
Whatever, man.
I got it.
Did you?
Yeah. Because
I'm having rough trade sex with your uncle.
Oh, shit.
Rough trade. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Dressing,
Hold on. I have a poem that your uncle wrote to you. Your open mouth awaiting my harvest.
God.
Drink from me, love.
Oh, no.
I mean to squeeze your cheeks, to force open your mouth. I'll hold your nose as you look up at me to encourage you to swallow. Don't spill a drop. I am a river. You are my canyon. I mean to flow through you. I mean to subdue and tame you, my love.
I'm going to kill myself.
What, if he held her nose, wouldn't she like cough? And
it's like he's giving a dog a pill.
Yeah.
My cum is like dog medicine. Hold your nose while you choke it down. Oh.
Dude, you sending me that screenshot was the first time I ever like cursed my parents for teaching me to read. I was just like, it was the text version of watching like the video from The Ring.
Yeah.
Like it was every disgusting image flashing. And then I was like, I'm going to die in 7 days. This sucks.
Yeah. So that was a little excerpt from Ryan Lizza's part two. Oops, She Did It Again.
did he call it that?
He called it She Did It Again.
Wild. It's just wild to be a 70-year-old who's like, I'm going to make you drink my gum.
And it was like mispunctuated. You can tell he just sort of tossed it off while he was doing other things.
Well, he texts like Jeffrey Epstein, which, you know.
I heard someone
raises some questions.
Do you guys know that?
Sorry, we need to contextualize this for people who aren't extremely online. Yes, that was Ryan Lizza's latest post about his ex-girlfriend Olivia Nuzzi and her supposed texts from Robert Kennedy Jr. I feel like
some people don't know.
If we continue down like this pattern, because that was part two of Ryan Liz's Substack tell-all, which I paid for. I'll be honest; I wanted to read it.
I don't blame you at all for that.
So,
a lot of people are getting real like high horsey, like, well, why would you monetarily support the blah 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 blah?
Yeah, that was tea. I want to drink the tea.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
People are acting like they're not also weird. Shut up.
Yeah.
Olivia Nizzi taught me what it was like to be weird.
Yep, we did.
Taught me it was okay to be weird.
That's right.
We got there. We're at yes.
The fucking the like texting thing is. I heard there's a political commentator named Anand something or other. You've seen him before. If you
don't
saw
tell me what I've seen,
you've seen him, and he made a really.
What does he look like?
He looks like a South Asian guy, you know, and he's got nice hair, you know, slick back, nice hair.
I'm picturing
something.
Russell Wilson.
It's not Russell. You got it. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. You gotta meet more South Asian people.
Russell Wilson looks like a Bollywood actor. Come on.
Yeah, this guy looks like
he looks like a handsome Indian.
More handsome Russell Peters.
Oh, okay. Are all Indian guys named Russell? Or I guess that's just one.
Yeah.
Another one just looks...
Unbelievable. I wish I could just finish this thought.
They all look like they're named Russell to me.
Yeah. You ever just have a thought? You just wish you could get out.
Oh, finish your thought all over me.
So
sorry. And then the second half of that, by the way, is... The second half of that, by the way, is a 7-year-old guy being like, I'm going to make this wild my gum. And then a 30-year-old woman being like, oh, my God, he's irresistible.
This is the most romantic thing I've ever been texted.
I've always wanted someone to text me like a really horny teen. he was talking about how both Epstein and... Anand was saying is like Epstein and his ilk... like the spelling mistakes and the emails, all that stuff is just another power play. Essentially, it's just like you can literally be like pulling the strings of like $1 billion security contracts globally and still like literally misspell everything because you want to let everyone know that you don't even fucking care. Like
it's a
nothing
flex
to you. It's a flex because it's not. I mean, it's not like. I think Jeffrey Epstein
is like a
math genius or something,
no,
wasn't he?
No, he's not. He's an idiot. Why was he? What are you talking about?
I thought he was a math genius.
He taught math at a high school for a while.
Well, that's pretty good.
Sure.
You got to be kind of smart to do that, right?
I mean, well, like that was the thing where...
So did my dad. What are you saying? My dad sexually traffics women?
Well, did he... Wait, did your dad teach math or something else?
Math.
Oh, okay. Your dad's a math guy. Huh, all right.
Well, I would say...
Science, too.
Let's just say I'm suspicious. I have questions.
No, I mean, the thing was...
Because
was Jeffrey
my dad is a Jewish high school teacher. All of a sudden, you think that he has some sort of
not
island...
Not all Jewish
That's
math
right.
teachers.
No, That's
I mean...
That's right.
The thing with Epstein was like they would
I'm
always...
not saying he is. I'm saying he maybe is not isn't.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah.
Are you a talking head now?
Are you a math teacher? Because I don't understand how
I mean,
works.
The defense of people who hung out with Epstein was always that, like, oh, yeah,
he was
paying him to give me tax advice or, you know,
he was a
genius at blah, blah, blah. And then, like, of the 2,000 emails that they just released, how many of them included tax advice?
Right. Like, tax advice versus, drawings of naked ladies. There's more drawings of naked ladies. He's more Jackie Treehorn than he is Good Will Hunting, you know?
100% Jackie Treehorn.
Yeah. Anyways, good for him.
RFK. The further away I get from working in an office, the more like my alarm bells go off when someone is really into like airport books. And he bought a lot of those. And
Epstein did?
What, you know, surprisingly, it's not the worst thing because he was buying rare copies of Lolita.
I'm sorry. Go on. What do you mean? They sold rare copies of Lolita at the airport?
Yeah, somebody got his Amazon like purchases, and so many of them were like the airport books, like Malcolm Gladwell shit, right? Like people who are like, oh, like TED Talks. People who think TED Talks are like the pinnacle of like
rich
human
dad, poor dad.
yeah. And not even, I would say rich dad, poor dad is more like I'm gonna be a like I make $50,000 a year and I'm gonna vote for like lower taxes because one day I'm gonna be a billionaire and I'm gonna be really happy that I voted for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Two things I've always dreamed of doing, being in the military and opening a small business.
Yeah, oh, basically.
The American
anyway,
dream.
But then there's also like the thought leadership. That's a really good way of describing it. Because like,
sure.
If you hear thought leadership, you're like, okay, I can just like not, I can disregard everything you have to say. But yeah. It was all just kind of, yeah, it was like Malcolm Gladwell type shit, like pop psychology, which is really funny if you think about it, because like his main thesis that people just bought for years was like 10,000 hours. Like if you get 10,000 hours of practice, that's like what you need to be good. And like his, one of the things that he pointed to is the Beatles.
Yeah,
and it's just like, it's so weird. It's like, well, how many other shitty bands are there that practice for 10,000 hours and suck?
Yeah, I always love the 10,000 hours like theory, because it like it's like what he used. And to be honest, I didn't read the book, but
you better believe it was assigned to me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What, at a job or
yeah,
in college?
At a job.
Jesus Christ. If I worked at a job where they were like, you got to read book, I'd be like, oh, you got to eat dick. That's what I'd say. And then I'd walk back to my desk and do my job. Super yeah, good.
You just flip on your Zippo lighter and right. Drop it on
now
the ground.
If you'll excuse me, I have some emails to send.
While the whole thing catches fire.
But yeah,
but anyway,
no,
it was all books like that, and then it was like rare copies of Lolita. It was very disturbing.
I love how so far in the Epstein saga, we got JP Morgan pulled into it. We of course have the Trump administration pulled into it, the Clintons, fucking a Rothschild's bank in Switzerland, and now Hudson Books.
How deep does this go? Turn this plane around. I know I haven't boarded yet. I'm waiting.
Is that Jesse Ventura?
Yeah,
that's a callback to oh God, I'm forgetting his name. Who's that amazing comedian we had on?
Jason
Dove.
Jason Dove, yes.
Oh,
we were talking about the conspiracy theory show with Jesse Ventura, where there's always like someone like, you'll never believe what we discovered. And then he's like, turn this plane around.
Turn this plane around.
Well, you know how Trump, everybody says he's like the a poor guy's idea of like a rich guy?
Uh-huh.
Like taking his limo through the McDonald's drive-thru.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And you know, like Jeffrey Epstein is sort of like a dumb guy's idea of a smart guy, but yeah, it's almost like catch me if you can. It's like he created his own dumb guy's idea of a smart guy, which was
it's
himself.
Almost like I think Donald Trump is like the rich dad, poor dad version of dumb guy's idea of a smart guy. Epstein is the, you know, I've worked in accounting for 12 years and I'm waiting on that promotion, you know, like kind of idea of a smart guy.
Mm.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I wanted some clarity on Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I don't think I know what that is.
It's like a book that it's like when Brendan was talking about how anyone described as a thought leader is disregardable. I feel the same way about anyone whose occupation is listed as entrepreneur.
Is Rich Dad Poor Dad a book about
it's
like
a book how you teach your kids to be like entrepreneurs, to think like rich guys, basically.
I never read it, but yeah, it's like how to invest to build, you know, wealth.
Yeah,
basically. I believe that it got really popular before the big financial crash in 2008, and it was like don't correct me if I'm wrong.
I wouldn't even know.
It's like, just buy houses. Keep buying houses.
Buy
the
house.
The prices just go up.
Price
You're
go
just
up.
Making keep, money.
Buy
money
house,
free.
Then buy more house.
Money free now. Everybody buy.
Man debt, house. Create
me
man
nothing.
House.
Yeah. Build man house on top of regular house. Make women stay downstairs. Only men upstairs. Xbox room.
Yeah, it was basically like,
listened.
I think a lot of it was
rich dad, man dad.
Don't save money. Saving, you're losing money if you save because of inflation.
Yeah. That's so true.
You've got to put your money into like cash flow positive businesses.
Absolutely.
And so like he's really big on real estate. So he was like, just buy as many houses as you can and rent them out.
Yeah.
And like debt is good. He says debt is good. The wealthy use debt to buy assets that pay them every month.
It is kind of true. Like, the richer a guy is, the more their finances are completely fucking disastrous, it seems like.
Right.
Yeah, the old, it's the old truism of if you owe the bank $1 million, you have a problem. If you owe the bank $1 billion, the bank has a problem.
Oh, dude. Oh.
That's the, what that's about, one of those
what
true
about the spank
truisms.
Bank?
Yeah,
they
have,
I don't know.
They have a how problem. Do I get a loan for $1 billion from a bank then? Because I feel like I should do that and then be like, well, now you have a problem. As soon as I sign the paperwork, well, guess what? Now you
Well.
Well, my, how the tables have turned. I'd like to buy one bank, please.
You just have a briefcase with sunglasses in there. You can sign it and you put them on, and now you got a problem.
And naked pictures of your wife.
That's right. Can you put this in a safety deposit box? Oh, it's a naked picture of my own wife. Thank you very much. Guess what? Now you got a problem.
And that problem is my wife.
Just being escorted into the back of a fucking police ambulance. Guess what? Now they have a problem. Just put a saline drip in my arm. Can you put those sunglasses back on? I want to say the line again.
Give me my sunglasses. Hold on.
This whole handcuffs thing is making it hard for me to put my sunglasses on because you put them on.
So now that I've been 5150'd, I'm a ward of the county, so it's really your problem.
Yeah, now I'm your problem.
They try to give me my medication. I'm in line. I take it and I throw it and I go, where are my sunglasses?
So.
Where are they? I don't even say the line. Because they already know I want to say it.
They're giving you the medication so you don't say the line. That's its only purpose. Dude, make sure he takes the medication. Otherwise, he's going to keep saying the line.
Oh, no. We accidentally filled his medication cup with the sunglasses.
How does he keep getting sunglasses?
Deal with it.
This is 10th pair this week.
Now you got a problem. Okay.
So, but in terms of Trump
What's
being
in the news.
Oh, the news is so good. Like, for instance, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but Trump has apparently successfully rebooted the Rush Hour franchise.
What?
I saw those words together, and I'm just like, I'm not sure, like, how? Like, is this just like...
Via executive fiat, he has gotten Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker back together.
At gunpoint? Like, what
so,
is...
So this was...
This
okay,
is like
this
some
is,
Kim Jong-un shit.
Dude, yeah. this is from 3 days ago. So this was the original news. And I had to write this up for GQ. So I'm like, it's sort of... I know the timeline very well. So this was 3 days ago from Semaphore. Trump appears to want to revive the raucous comedies and action movies of the late 80s and 1990s. He's passionate, okay. For instance, about the 1988 Jean-Claude Van Damme sports flick Bloodsport.
Sure. Okay.
That's on record.
Well, yeah, we know all about that one.
Yeah, making Eric fast forward to the slow parts.
Eric's my fast forward button. Well, I have a remote when I have idiot sons. A person directly familiar with the conversations told Semaphore that the President of the United States has personally pressed the Paramount owner to revive another franchise from Brett Ratner, Rush Hour, a buddy cop comedy starring Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker that blended physical comedy, martial arts, and gags about racial stereotypes.
Oh, so, my God. This is amazing.
That was
this
3 days
This is the
ago.
Most Kim Jong-un shit he's ever done. Like,
no, because Kim Jong-un has better tasted movies.
Well, better
taste
in movies, but like in that he probably like fucking had the CIA kidnap Brett Ratner from his fucking pedo hideaway in Israel.
He
was like, you got to make it.
He wanted to like remake The Godfather, Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Trump wants to remake Rush Hour.
Yeah, that's a key difference. It's like he only likes fucking like Daddy Daycare. And, Rush Hour is so perfect. So that was 3 days ago. Then today the news comes that this shit is actually happening. It has actually gotten greenlit. Matt Bellany. I teased this last night, but now confirmed. Paramount will release Rush Hour 4 after prodding from Trump on behalf of Brett Ratner. Distribution deal.
Oh, wait.
Producer.
How old is Jackie Chan now?
He's got to be 70.
And also, like, Chris Tucker, he's a lot larger than he once was, but I think he could still do a great job. Isn't he also, am I wrong?
He
am I
is
slandering
in the
a
Epstein
man?
Files.
He
no,
is in the Epstein files.
He has probably confirmed it himself. He went
oh, he
on,
did.
He went on a humanitarian trip to Africa in a plane with Bill Clinton and Kevin Spacey on an Epstein's jet.
Oh, man, yeah. That's... Yeah,
the last my knowledge of it was that there was a Chris Tucker on the logs, and no one had totally verified that.
No,
it was
Chris Tucker
Chris
has
Tucker.
Admitted that he was on the plane. I researched this. Like he was on the flight logs. He was on. He was like, yeah, I never met him. Didn't go to the island like Cat Williams said I did. But he said like, yeah, he went to a humanitarian tour. A humanitarian trip to Africa on Epstein's plane at one
Wild.
Point.
I love that. Same plane with Bill Clinton just sitting there. Bill's like, I didn't really appreciate that joke when you said who she thinks she is, Chelsea Clinton. That's
is that
daughter.
In Rush Hour?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. I really liked it when you said never touch a black man's radio.
Yeah. I'm really
crazy, Bill. You crazy. Yeah.
Hey, I just saw Fifth Element. Is that real? I'm sorry. Just new character.
That part when the Stones were inside that opera singer.
New character, incredulous Bill Clinton.
Did you really get those Stones inside of an opera
Have
singer?
Have you actually been to space?
Here's David Copperfield. Hey, did you really steal the Statue of Liberty?
If so, could you give it back? So Brett
How
Ratner.
How come you wasn't in Shanghai Noon?
So Brett Ratner, I don't know if you know the full backstory on him. So you know he's sort of like at the height of Me Too, he was in the LA Times being accused by six different women of like various forms of sexual misconduct. He's also the guy who Olivia Munn says was like jerking off while eating shrimp cocktail.
Well, I mean, was he doing that in the privacy of his own home? Because I think
he
that's
was
okay.
In his trailer and then inviting her in and
while
I don't
eating
the
shrimp
entire...
cocktail.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, so he sort of was like shadow canceled for a while. Like for a while he was sort of not directing movies, but he was like he's really good at befriending rich people, like extremely
Clearly.
good. So he was friends with I think his name's Will Packer, who's like an Australian billionaire. He was friends with this Australian billionaire who was at one point like financing 50% of Warner Brothers slate, and I'm pretty sure that was like post Ratner cancellation. But then I think that deal went away, and then in 2023, Ratner had like emigrated to Israel. Like there was a actual report in like the Times of Israel, like, "Yay,
yeah,
Brett
that.
Ratner's coming here to the Mecca of sex criminals, Israel."
No, that's not related, by the way. Not related. Just he just likes Israel. Has nothing to do with us being a haven for Jewish pedophiles or sex criminals. Listen, was he accused of pedophilia? I don't think so.
Well, Michael Jackson was also on that same Epstein plane, by the way. I don't know. That's you just reminded me. And Brett Ratner is also like famously was very good friends with Michael Jackson. I don't know if that
that's
has anything
true.
To do with the trip that Chris Tucker was on. So anyway,
all my friends are fucking boring and I'm so sick of it. Not one of you is financing Warner Brothers,
yeah,
nor flying in private jets to fuck islands.
Mm-hmm. Well, someday
that you know of.
Oh, if I'm not being invited, I'd be so pissed.
You know, you just have to read Rich Dad Fuck Dad and figure out
Rich Dad Fuck Dad. I don't want to
figure out how to get on that plane.
That's why I always vote Libertarian. So because one day when I'm a billionaire from this podcast,
yes,
it's been going for over 15 years.
One day
when we just get mega huge and leave Joe Rogan in the dust,
fuck you, Joe.
I'm gonna have a fuck island.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait.
Look at me. I am the fuck guy now.
I am Mr. Fuck Guy.
So Ratner immigrated to Israel in 2023. And then as soon as Trump got elected, he was like, hell yeah, now is an accused rapist's time to shine.
Mm-hmm,
and he immediately got a $40 million deal to direct the Melania documentary, which I believe comes out in January. Like, it's an Amazon documentary about
Funded by who?
Melania. I think Bezos.
So Bezos was like, hey, Ratner, get in the bullpen.
Okay, so like to back up a little bit.
Start warming up.
So Trump was basically like, he was prodding David Ellison to make this Rush Hour movie, because David Ellison owns
Paramount.
The company that just bought Paramount,
right.
Skydance. Yeah, Skydance. He owns Skydance. Skydance, as part of the FCC allowing them to merge with Paramount, like, there was a $16 million settlement with Trump over like a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, like, the House Justice Committee or whatever is investigating that as a bribe, because it seems very much like it was just like a direct bribe. Like,
I don't know. I don't see that.
Here's $16 million. Let us merge these companies. So then Trump was hassling Ellison about making Rush Hour 4. So anyway, Ratner gets his $40 million from Bezos to make the Melania documentary. And I assume what happened is that Brett Ratner was just hanging out with the Trumps a lot. And Trump was just like, hey, that Rush Hour was a good movie. Why don't you make another one of those?
It sucks for me as, you know, a big Red Dragon head, that he wasn't like, you know what I want to see? Red Dragon 2.
Mandy is a fool.
The dragoning.
Red Dragon 2 would be great. And of course, Red Dragon 2 is Silence of the Lambs, and he just plays him Silence of the Lambs.
Incredible work. I forgot. I hadn't. Yeah.
I do want to see the Brett Ratner remake of Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, so Ratner gets the $40 million to direct the Melania Trump documentary. I assume he was just hanging out at the Trump house. And I'm surprised that Donald and Melania were in the same place long enough for him to be hanging out with Brett Ratner, since it was of Melania. I assume like one of Melania's things is probably not being around Donald very often.
Yeah. I imagine so. You don't really see them, you know, out together.
Okay, so here's my question after this kind of brief explanation. This lined up in the sense that, you know, the Ellison family is close with Trump. They bribed him. And also Brett Ratner.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah, allegedly. And and also, so some are calling it a bribe. Yeah. And then also Brett Ratner is in here
Many
somewhere.
People are saying.
The thing that struck me about this story is, like, Rush Hour actually seems kind of late for Donald to, like, have an attachment to. So
that
I wonder
true.
If he's just tried this with so many people. Like, Steven Seagal has, like, 8 unlistened to voicemails, you know, from Trump, like, begging him to make Out for Justice 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bloodsport's 1988. That seems more like Trump's era than Rush Hour.
Exactly, yes.
Like, do we think Trump has actually seen the movie Rush Hour, or has he just seen, like, the trailers for Rush Hour?
He's only seen the outtake reel from part one, where he kept saying Kelsey Grammer instead of Chelsea Clinton.
He makes Eric Trump fast forward to the blooper reel.
Yeah. Can you make a supercut of this, Eric? Just fast forward to the part where you hear Jackie Chan say the N-word over and over.
Yeah. Just the most, only the most racist parts of Rush Hour. Damn, you Chinese as hell!
Rewind it. I like the way he says Chinese.
China.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, his thing, I guess, like, for a while there, his thing was hating China. Like, that was one of Trump's main things.
I forgot
and then
about that.
Jackie Chan is, like, has sort of become a famous China apologist in his old age. Like he was
in what
kinda,
way?
Like he bagged on. He was born in Hong Kong, I think. I think he's like Hong Kong's like most famous export, basically. But
I didn't know that. I thought he was from China.
I think he's from Hong. I'm pretty sure he's from Hong Kong.
Oh,
I know.
Damn.
I mean, he's the most famous Hong Kong action movie star. And then when the protests were happening, he was kind of
he was kind of
bagging on him. He called it like a city of protests and said he was like very sad that they were protesting. And so he wants
the unification to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think it already did.
Yeah, I guess it did happen.
Yeah.
What do you think about Taiwan? That's the real test.
Mm-hmm.
A real test is what he thinks about Taiwan, you know?
Maybe that's what's going to be in Rush Hour 4, Taipei Nights.
Wait a second. Now that I'm thinking about it, wasn't part of the fucking plot of Rush Hour about the unification of China and Hong Kong?
Was it?
Yes. It was about the British giving up control of Hong Kong.
I don't remember
the plot of
Rush Hour. I mean, I'm trying to find it.
I mean, it's mostly about the kidnapping of Su Yang, but it is... hold on. Rush Hour 1.
I honestly don't remember a thing about any of those movies.
On the last day of British rule of Hong Kong on June 30th, 1997, Detective Inspector Lee of the Royal Hong Kong Police Force leads a raid at the wharf, hoping to arrest the unidentified anonymous crime lord Jun Tao.
Jun Tao, fucking
yeah,
Jun Tao.
You're right.
Dude.
That is part of the plot of Rush Hour.
I love it. So that's why he's like mad at like, you know, Hong Kong. He was just like, guys, I helped unify China with Hong Kong, and now you guys are protesting
you
it.
You repay me by kidnapping Sun Yang,
Su Yang,
Su Yang.
Yeah. Oh man, that's crazy.
Beautiful Su Yang.
Beautiful Su Yang.
She was kidnapped by China.
China kidnapped Su Yang. The triads.
Bad guys.
Bad guys.
Some bad hombres.
Bad hombres.
Maybe this will be like what like, you know, unites us.
Our love
That's
of rush
true.
Hour. I do think this is the day when Donald Trump truly became president.
I think so too.
I mean, of all the things that he's done.
Yeah. I forgive it all.
Getting
for
a
rush
fourth
hour
rush
four.
Hour is like that's got to be. You got to put that in the good column, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's so crazy too because it's the added on Donald Trump of the whole thing. Like, there's a universe that would have like okay, so there are parallel universes, right? In one universe, Rush Hour 4 is made because Donald Trump demanded it. In another universe, Rush Hour 4 is made because, of course, it's going to be made. So it's weird that he added himself into it. You know what I'm saying? Nothing changes. The timeline stays the same.
I don't know that it was going to be made.
You don't like, think they were going to make Rush Hour 4 anyways? Maybe.
I mean, I think they might have, but I don't know if that Brett Ratner would have been involved.
I'm wondering about the logistics
of getting Brett Ratner insured as the director in a movie starring a guy that's been on the Epstein plane.
Yeah, that does seem like a risk. It does seem like a risk. And just like, make sure no shrimp cocktails for Rat. Rat, he get a little shrimp in that guy and he goes crazy on his dick. He's inviting hopper women over and masturbating in front of them. He loves them. He loves hoppers. He loves them.
I mean,
half and half.
I remember the first time. So the Olivia Munn story came up way before like the Ratner's official cancellation, and I think the first time that they asked Brett Ratner about Olivia Munn, he was like, oh yeah, I knew her, her name was just like Julie, she wasn't Asian back then.
that's what he said, her name was Julie.
I don't know what her, he's like, oh, he knew her by a different name, and he was like, oh yeah, she wasn't Asian then.
I think I have a slight memory of him saying something along the lines of like, that's back when she wasn't even Chinese, before trans happened or something. Anyways, I'm glad that there's going to be more Rush Hour movies.
So yeah. In In her essay collection, Suck It, Wonder Woman, The Misadventures of a Hollywood Geek, Olivia Munn recounted the incident without identifying Ratner, but he later appeared on a show previously hosted by Munn to identify himself and discredit her experience. Quote, I used to date Olivia Munn when she was Lisa, the director said on Attack of the Show. That was the problem. She wasn't Asian back then.
This was on Attack of the Show, he said this?
Yes.
He came on her old, what is that, G4 network or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
G4.
Yeah, with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
Famous nerd.
Famous nerd. You know, this is obviously off topic. After everything, feels like Chris Hardwick got a raw deal.
Does it? I don't think he got a raw deal.
I forget
deal.
What he
Why
did.
How did he get a raw deal? He was like on a television show for a long time.
No, I mean, what did he do? He got in trouble, though. Remember?
He's just annoying, I think. No, he got like someone he used to date like wrote a long piece about what a dick he was, but I don't think he was like getting fired from stuff because of that, as far as I can remember. I mean, I don't remember.
But he definitely like went away from public life and for sure stopped.
I think he went away from public life. Have you seen the cover of his book, like The Nerdist Way or whatever?
No, why would I see that? I don't go to Hudson Books.
He wrote a book and he's on the cover with like nerd written on his knuckles, and that's the cover of his book.
Oh, that sucks.
It's like almost as embarrassing as that like Ricky Gervais photo shoot where he's like
where he's crucified himself,
crucified, yeah,
with the microphone stand.
Yeah, that was like the late aughts,
and it was called You
Nerd
What?
Culture version of Ricky Gervais.
Oh
book.
God, yeah,
yeah.
Anyways.
Ratner later backtracked on his statement and told Howard Stern, "quote I said I banged her 3 times, which wasn't true." Munn says she has repeatedly run into Ratner and alleges that at a creative artist agency meeting in 2010, he angrily asked her why she hated him and then described masturbating to magazines with her image on the cover.
Honestly,
I think he answered his own question.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like when you... so like he needs to be executed. Like some people, it's just like... You gotta firing squad them because that's like who he's always going to be. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta just, there's some people who I'm like.
You gotta send them to Israel at least.
I know, you gotta euthanize them. You know, you gotta do something like a bad dog, you know? you really do. Like,
well, maybe you have to give him medicine, but you have to close his mouth and
pinch his nose. He swallows the poison, and then you just kind of rub his belly until he dies.
Like until he gets hired as West Coast editor for Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's just like it just guys like that, you're just like, what do you even do? You know? There's no punishment. It's just like you just gotta stop the bleeding. You just gotta kill him. Anyways. I of course am against all forms of political violence.
Listen, these are all bad things, but if
terrible
it gets
things.
Us to a Rush Hour 4,
I know.
At least some good can come of this, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Did you guys see him and Mamdani having that meeting together? That ruled. Mm-hmm. I loved that.
Just broing out?
Dude, he was just like, he's my best friend. I like Hamas now.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been around so many of the most cringy losers for his entire term.
I mean, this is the first surrounded by worms.
Hey, Vince, have you finished your holiday shopping yet?
The real question is, have I even started my holiday shopping? And the answer is no.
Well, that's stupid, Vince, because the holidays are almost here, but do not panic, okay? Because Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute.
That's right, Matt. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen.
For example, every year in the Lieb household, we get like a Christmas tree, right? And we decorate it and we put a bunch of cheap plastic crap all over it. Mm. But this year, I got a very special tree ornament
from Uncommon Goods. It's a personalized pet portrait wood slice ornament. So basically, it's like a laser engraved picture of our cat Ramona, and it's laser engraved on a piece of perfectly sliced wood. It's really cute. It's made in Michigan and decorated in Brooklyn, and it is one of a kind.
Wow, that is quite a geographical footprint. Meanwhile, I'm getting the Landshark golf ball marker. It's a ball marker that you use to golf with, and it looks like a shark's fin. So it looks like, you know, your ball marker is just swimming around the green like a shark created
by... Oh, that's
by,
cute.
Yeah, Nikki Häkkinen. Great job. Oh, it looks cool.
Yeah, it does look cool. I've seen it. I need to start playing golf more so I can, you know, put cute things onto the fairway. Mm-hmm. As you can see, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners.
I'm all three of those.
You're literally all of those things, including a mom. And you'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary.
That's right. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Every purchase is a chance to choose something remarkable and feel good about where your money goes.
That's right, because with every purchase that you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date.
So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/podyourself. That's uncommongoods.com/podyourself for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer.
Yes, I cannot stress enough. That is uncommongoods.com/podyourself for 15% off. What a deal, okay? So do it now. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Surrounded by worms.
It's been 7 months since I've been in a room with someone who wasn't bald and pale as snow. Like, he's only surrounded by pale, bald men for long time.
Kash Patel is not pale. Okay.
Yeah, but he's not. You think he's been in the same room with Kash Patel ever?
I don't know how many people have been in the same room with Kash Patel.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he's just happy to be around someone with swag.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody's talked about this, but I definitely think it's just like his...
Yeah, but the people are waiting for us to talk about
his reflexive... he knows a winner. Like, he has a reflexive... Yeah. He has a reflexive reaction when he's mm-hmm. like around a winner, and he sort of has a respect for it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's like why he likes Hitler. He was, you know, people are like, oh, how could you like him? He's like, well, he was popular.
He was winning.
He won for a while. And then he died like a loser, like a dog. It's all goes back to, I like people.
They say the army wouldn't let him win. His generals said they wouldn't let him win. He was.
Yeah, exactly. They should have just let him run the whole thing. It's like, it all goes back to him saying about John McCain, like, I like people who weren't captured. Like, he's not saying because he's like, oh, that would be a sick burn. He's saying it because he means it.
Yeah.
In his heart, he's like, well, if you, like, it's why he won't go to, like, a veterans, like, graveyard. He's just mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm going to be surrounded by the corpses of the people who lost war.
No, he's like Don Draper when Don Draper has to, like, be around Roger Sterling after his heart attack. Like,
right.
To see weakness in other people, yes. Like, it degrades him, and he reflexively cringes from it.
Right. So it's
my dad did that.
Your dad did what?
Like, his best friend had a stroke, and he was like, ew, get him away from me.
Holy shit. That's dark. I mean, but, you know, it's a real thing, though. It's like there are people.
I feel like it's a very boomer mindset. It's a very boomer mindset. Like, they somehow fucked up in some way and deserved it.
Right,
and
they don't want it rubbing off on them.
Yeah, in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, you surround yourself with
honestly
with winners.
You are the sum of the five people you hang out with the most, you know?
Like, yeah. It is fucking crazy.
Let me tell you something. I'm in trouble because my kids are assholes.
Just don't have a stroke, dude.
Don't have a stroke because they're going to look at you and be like, ew.
Your kids like
well,
dads.
Well, no, I hang out with them the most is my
rich
point.
Rich dad, stroke dad. Yeah, what's in the news?
Did you see the Barry Weiss thing about how she wants to interview charismatic people like Alan Dershowitz?
Yeah, I did. I didn't watch the actual video of it though. No. She doesn't say Alan Dershowitz, right?
Well, I can read you the caption, and I have the video for you if you want to play.
Okay. Yeah. Read the caption.
Barry Weiss says she wants to use her new perch at CBS News to, quote, redraw the lines of what falls in the 40 yards of acceptable debate in American political uncle. Fuck off. Don't tell me Barry Weiss watches football. Like, that is, she's trying hard there to appeal to the common man. I don't believe that she ever has. She says the aim is to sideline voices like Hassan Piker, Tucker Carlson, and Nick Fuentes, and elevate charismatic figures such as Alan Dershowitz and Dana Loesch, who reflect where the vast majority of Americans actually are. And you can play the video to see.
Dana Loesch is a fucking maniac. I love the idea of being like real Americans who have like normal opinions.
Yeah, like,
and she's
Alan
like, if you don't ever have a gun, you're going to be raped to death by brown people.
I mean, I think her view of what a normal figure is like a bootlicker. Like, she's a born bootlicker, and she's praising two other born bootlickers.
But Alan Dershowitz is, he licks more than boots, you know? Like,
like he kept his underwear on.
He licks the pierogies and then puts them back.
Yeah, exactly. Here, all right, it's 3 minutes and 44 seconds. I will not make it through this.
All of us see the moment that we're in.
And
all of us see that the choices that it feels like we have sometimes, which is Hassan Piker and Tucker Carlson or Nick Fuentes and, you know, Andrew Tate, the kind of people that are rising in the podcast charts.
Hassan in that group. Like,
what
how
the fuck?
She's just doing like the dumb journalist, like, you have to pick someone from the left and someone from the right, but like their concept of it is so stupid. This goes back to my personal bugaboo, which is every time the New York Times writes about podcasts, they're always like right-wing podcasts and they name like 1,000 and then like, and left-wing podcasts like Chapo Trap House and Come Town.
Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah.
All right.
Never us.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Rising in the podcast charts. Those don't actually represent our values, and I don't think that they represent the values and the worldview of the vast majority of Americans. And so this is an opportunity to speak for the 75%, for the people that are on the center left and the center right that still believe in equality of opportunity, that still believe passionately in the American project, that still believe in all of the things that everyone in this room believes in, which is liberty and freedom and individual responsibility and the most basic level, the right to know what is actually going on in the world. Not the world as propagandists and ideologues imagine it to be, but what's actually going on in the world in your community so you can make decisions about where to send your kids to school, about where to live and about how to vote. That used to just be normal. And the goal of what we're trying to do at CBS is to get back to that normalcy. And I feel incredibly energized and enthusiastic because I think that is where the vast majority of Americans actually are.
Oh my God, I got to look at the panel and it's got fucking Ben Shapiro on there. and I'm sorry, this is the Jewish Leadership Conference. We got to stop doing this. At this point, it is like, listen, there was a time where I would be in total agreement with anyone who said, like, what is the problem with having, you know, a specific ethnic group, you know, leadership conference or whatever. But at this point, when you got the woman who is just like, David Ellison just gave me the news to run next to Ben fucking Shapiro. And it's just like, guys, you make it. It looks.
The only thing I know about Dana Loesch is like I know she's crazy. She's like very into guns. Like every photo
she's
is her
the head
with
of the
guns.
NRA, right?
Is she?
Oh,
still?
That's right. She is because the old guy got thrown out. One of her books is called "Hands Off My Gun," and then
How do you do that for 300 pages?
So I googled Dana Loesch, or it's like Lash, I think she pronounced it, quotes. This came up. It's an excerpt from her book, and I have to share this. This is the view of real America. Outside of Piers Morgan's home is a sign strategically positioned in the front of his property by the walkway. Its bold red and white typeface is a warning to all passersby, protected by armed response security systems. James O'Keefe of Project Veritas discovered the sign as he sought signatures for a petition seeking to rid Hollywood films of all firearms. He took a photo of the sign and asked Morgan via Twitter, "Hey, Piers Morgan, can you explain these signs on your Beverly Hills property?" I love it where it's like, "So we went to his house and took photos and asked him why he's concerned about people showing up at his house."
Also, they're like,
the hypocrisy is overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, like, who does it serve to bust Piers Morgan for hypocrisy? Who is out there being like, you know who's genuine? Yeah. Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
You know who's like a genuine hero of
you know, one thing I love about Piers Morgan is you really always know where he stands on issues.
Yeah. But like, how many people in the entire country give a shit what Piers Morgan says ever?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the question.
I love the integrity of the kid who shakes the ant farm and makes him fight.
Yeah,
I know where he stands. He likes to see the ants fight.
I mean, that's my question.
Here's a good one. I'm especially amazed that feminists will preach countless tales advocating for the empowerment of women in almost every way, except for the one that matters most, protection of their physical safety. Throw a firearm into the equation, and modern-day feminists adopt the patriarchal prejudice represented by Colorado Democrats. Women suddenly become stupid, weak little creatures, unfit to carry a firearm. I love the assumption here is that their objection, that a feminist objection to guns is like, "I'm too weak to carry one.
I can't hold it." I also love the image of, like, you know, all these feminists are like so strong, and then you throw a firearm into the mixture, meaning I go up to a group of feminists standing around at a meeting and I put a gun in their face.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everybody's
stick a gun
crying.
Up to their head and see how they act then.
Yeah,
okay?
Oh, yeah. Who's tough now?
Not so strong now, are you?
Not so strong now, hypocrite.
The Simpsons episode, The Cartridge Family. It's all true, you know?
I mean, that
if
was
I had
of...
my gun, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, that was sort of my question about Barry Weiss. Like, when she thinks that she speaks for, like, the 75% of Americans, like, in the middle, like, do you think that she actually believes it? Or, I mean, I know she does...
Yes,
I know her whole life is an exercise in resume building.
It's hard to tell what is like just seeing where the wind is blowing and like seeing where the opportunity to like have a bunch of idiots' views reflected back at them.
Yeah,
and be like, "Well, that girl gets it. She's really smart." Or I agree with you, Vince, that it's hard to know where to draw the line. Like,
it's hard to tell
opportunist
because,
and idiot.
Yeah, because I feel like people like, you know, Trump, Nick Fuentes, they know when they're saying things just to say some shit, like to give red meat to the masses. But like the lanyard class, like there are times where I do think that they don't know anyone that doesn't wear a lanyard to work and really like only know the opinions of other lanyard people.
Did you see where Noah Smith, no opinion, said, "Well, the difference between Republicans and Democrats is that Republicans don't hate America. Like, everything they do is because they love America." And I'm like, aren't you supposed to be, like, the extreme centrist guy? That is an insane take. You literally tried to, like, overthrow the Constitution 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, or, like, on a daily basis whenever...
That too, yes.
Like, whenever we're just, like, bombing random Venezuelan boats or, you know, declaring things... you know, like using war powers because, oh, well, we have a war on drugs. So
I love
ergo, anyone who we can credibly accuse of being a drug dealer is.
I was like shocked. Like I was aghast at that take. I was like, that is the wildest fucking lanyard dick takes.
But it is 100% this. And I think this is like a delusion amongst anyone who is part of a class of people that has some sort of institutional power, whether it's your fucking, you know, like if you got the Jewish leadership conference people who are, or, you know, or it's fucking Barry Weiss at any other kind of meeting where it's just like, if I the only people she comes in contact with, she thinks are like, we are all the most reasonable people. And the vast majority of people are unreasonable hogs. Mm-hmm. Who all they want to do is oink and, you know, snipe at each other and, you know, snipe at us. And they're fucking, they're not, like, these guys are fundamentally anti large groups of people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, they're elitists.
Yes, like they're elitists.
But they also think elitism is like popular, like their form of populism, because I don't think they see beyond that. Like when they... Like when the whole Mom Donnie thing happened, like I think they kept telling themselves, "Oh, he's like, he's too extreme for the common man. Like the regular people are not going to appreciate this extremism."
Well, that's because on the right,
like, wait, the free bus guy. Like, what are you talking about? But they actually believe that.
On the right, they've very successfully been able to gauge what the common man wants based on the fact that they will always vote right wing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll always vote Republican. So for them, they're like, yeah, the common man wants their jobs to be shipped off. The common man doesn't want health care, wants increased, you know, fucking prescription prices, and wants a trade war with China.
The common man doesn't want the Epstein files released anymore. Right. Now that we know how much Trump is in there.
Right.
The common man is against it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, their entire worldview is based on the fact that, like, elected representatives are actually representing their people by virtue of the fact that those people got them elected. Even if they turn against the thing that they were, you know, promising or what they got elected for, it doesn't matter to them. To them, the system works. Mm. So they're, so they don't believe in anything but themselves. They're psychopaths.
Speaking of which, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned like a couple days after we recorded the last podcast.
Yeah. Was that our fault? Did we?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, we
did
made
we talk
that happen.
About it?
No, I mean, I kind of had some respect for that. She was actually like writing. She's like the only person that genuinely believed in QAnon and not just like as a way to punish Democrats.
No.
But like now she's resigning. And I'm like, why? I don't know. I feel like you can't.
I don't
get
even know why.
For having principles if you immediately like resign.
I truly I didn't watch her video because I you know, what am I gonna?
I mean, she was like, you know, I did this because like I don't think it's right that powerful people are trafficking teen girls in America. I think that's bad.
She's right about that.
And
I agree
like,
with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I kind of. Yeah,
I agree with that. But mm-hmm. I guess she's you know, she's quitting because. I assume it's because she knows that she will lose a re-election
bid. It seemed like she was quitting because she didn't like people yelling at her.
Which is insane to me.
Right, because like, it seemed like her whole thing was
your whole
picking
thing
fights
is,
before.
Right. Isn't that your whole thing? But I guess it was like before she at least had like the backing of the fucking MAGA crowd. But she still has the back. You know, it all is very annoying to me actually because she... like she won that fight on against Trump with the Epstein files. Like Trump went the fuck after her. And,
he did, and then he voted for her anyway, which was very confusing.
Well, yeah, the next day after he was just like, fuck that bitch, you know, she's a stupid cunt, and, you know, I'll never do it. I'll never release the Epstein file. The next day he's like, release him. I don't care. I don't fucking care. Do it. Do it. Vote. Vote for it. Vote for it. I could do it myself, but I won't. I believe in democracy. And so I was like, damn, I've never seen him back down before because he clearly did not want these files out. And then she resigned. I can only assume is that they, as retribution for putting him in that position, you know, they like... I don't know. They were going to do something to her, compromise material or something. Like they were going to release something. They were going to do something to fuck her life up.
What
maybe.
Do they have on Marjorie Taylor Greene that we don't already know? More pictures of her weird feet.
Just like maybe there's
you
like
saw feet pics.
Oh, I don't want to talk about
the
her
threads
feet.
About her weird like elf feet.
I saw her feet one time, and it was I don't like her feet. I don't want. It's disgusting. She has gross feet. And now Vince is going to look it up. Like, what are you going to go on fucking rotten.com? But yeah, I don't know what they have. Maybe if they have a picture of her doing something like normal. And she's like, no.
You know. Being allowed into a bar and grill.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Her quietly reading.
Yeah, here's her reading a book.
Yeah.
Under her doing a strict form pull-up.
Yeah, doing a Sudoku.
Oh, Jesus.
You click the link like an idiot. Like in college when they fucking everyone gathered around to watch that terrorist beheading video, and I was just like, oh, I wish I hadn't watched that.
I don't care about feet. I think feet people are weird.
I think you're weird.
And I think most feet are ugly, but even with that opinion, when I look at her feet, I'm like, oh yeah, those are weird feet.
Those are fucked up feet. Yeah.
I like girl feet. I don't understand not liking girl feet unless you're gay. Huh.
You got me there.
Yeah. I can't come back from that
one. QED, motherfucker.
Where are my sunglasses?
There's just a pile of 10 sunglasses. You're fumbling for them, but they're all falling on the floor.
Your problem's being gay for not liking feet.
It is amazing, like, all of the unforced errors. Like, it seems like, I don't know how this only came about now. Like, the
which
idea,
part?
Just like Trump being, for 4 years at least, maybe six, it was like they were banging on about pedophiles and the Epstein files. Like mm-hmm. They really didn't think that was going to come around in any way.
I mean,
I don't get it. I'm still trying to figure out, yeah, how this all.
I think because I was thinking about it too, and I was like, okay, well, but Epstein wasn't killed until 2019.
Yeah, when Trump was president, that was always like,
well, right,
seemed like
right.
A big meatball that they didn't have a way of explaining.
And there
well.
Was kind of like, you know, the online chatter about the Epstein thing obviously blew up like crazy after that, and then you know people started publicly. You know, like there was that guy who went on Fox News and said Epstein didn't kill himself and stuff and became a big right-wing talking point and everyone, you know.
He was
and then,
the new Harambe for a while there.
Yeah, and then like Biden won the election and then it was like 4 years of like right-wing people saying Epstein files and libs just being like, you know, I think that doesn't matter for some reason. they're like, yeah, I think we're going to ignore that. Mm-hmm. And that's probably fine. Yeah, these guys are just crazy with the QAnon stuff, even though everyone was like, no, the Epstein thing is very real. Why are we pretending like it's not? And then Trump saw that lane open and used it to get elected. And then once elected, he was like kind of stuck with the campaign promise of Epstein files. And the question is, why did they like do the whole thing where it's like, we're going to have a big press conference. We're going to do everything. Everyone's going to get the files.
The binders.
And then fucking nothing. Yeah. So I don't know.
He thought he was always going to be able to control like what leaked out about it. And then,
right.
Yeah. That's the only thing that
but
I can think
about.
But
what was in those binders that like the.
It was all shit that had already been reported.
All it was all public knowledge.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love that.
It definitely didn't have like the birthday card with Donald Trump's signature
in
the pubes.
In the pubes.
Or the emails where all the famous people were like, wasn't it great doing pedophile stuff together?
Yeah, anyway, those emails are great.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Speaking
of
which.
Larry Summers asking him how to like keto escalate or whatever.
So I have a mentee.
Yeah, I keep demonstrating higher value, but she refuses to keto escalate with me.
Is there a way that I can drug her and send her to a fuck island away from my wife, who I hate? That's what he sounds like. I'm not doing it. This is not a. I'm not anti. This is. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi. Hello. It's me, Larry Summers.
Oh, how you doing? What are you up to these days?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because before I was doing my usual job, as you know, of holding a globe with my many tentacles. Which is not, people say it's anti-Semitic, but it was just the way I was drawn by Goebbels. And I was teaching at Harvard, teaching the youth, you know, about how to hold globes, various methods for tentacle grabbing. It could be any object. Doesn't just have to be a globe.
What else do you hold?
Well, sometimes I hold puppet strings.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, and
it seems like the tentacles would be helpful for that.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. I'm a very good puppeteer because of all the arms. And I was teaching a class, and then the email came out about this dang mentee I had. And, well, long story short, I'm taking a little break from public life, you know. It's fine. I'll just.
What are you going to be doing with your
sabbatical? Pursuing my passion?
Yeah. What were those?
Holding globes.
Sure.
But for the private sector. Oh, gotta go.
Oh, what's that? What's that sound?
I'm spinning my testicles like helicopter blades. Oh,
there's mucus going everywhere now.
I did appreciate someone took a video of one of Larry Summers' classes, and there's just this incredible twist at the end because the whoever this guy is, the replacement, is like, so as you know, Mr. Summers will not be teaching the rest of the semester. I know everyone's going to miss him tremendously. And then you hear one girl go, no, we're not. And the guy, he kind of like, you can see, like, he starts to look, but then he doesn't. He's like, no, got to stay on, you know, and just finishes his dumb whatever canned statement. And he's like, so anyway, we're going to proceed with what we had planned for class originally. Our next guest is a distinguished gentleman who we're very excited to have and share his knowledge with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Blair.
It was really Tony Blair?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Here he is, folks. The next governor of the Gaza Strip. Architect of the Iraq War, Mr. Tony Blair.
Hello, loves.
Oh, hey.
Oh, it's me, Tony Blair. Me back. Me back to do some professoring.
But speaking of unforced errors, did you see the thing with Twitter this week?
What thing? Oh, yes. Beautiful.
They introduced a new feature where you can see where accounts were created.
Yeah.
I have no idea why they did this. Like, why?
It's fun.
Why would he do this?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I have the Miles Klee article from Rolling Stone about this. Over the weekend, X's head of product, Nikita Beer, announced the rollout of About This Account profile pages, which provide details on when an account was opened, how often its handle has been changed, and where the owner resides. Why would you do this?
Because it's fun. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun for me. I'm glad they did it. It's just weird. If you're Elon Musk, why would you do this? Quote, this is an important first step to securing the integrity of the global town square, Beer wrote on the site on Saturday. Quote, we plan to provide many more ways for users to verify the authenticity of the content they see on X, unquote. To protect users in countries without free speech protections, he added, the company was implementing privacy toggles to only show your region as opposed to the exact country.
Oh, that's hilarious.
As soon as this new information was unleashed, people began looking at the location data for accounts that primarily serve to stoke political tensions in the U.S. with far-right narratives that are often misleading or outright false. Many were instantly revealed to live abroad, suggesting that they have spent years posting this material less out of ideological motivations than for money, accelerating the polarization of the American electorate in the process. And who could have ever guessed that?
I love it. There was a lot happening too, like... obviously, like, a bunch of pro-Israel accounts are like all over the fucking map.
Yeah.
But the funniest was, like, in order to, like, get back, they were like, well, look at this. Look at this Palestinian guy who lives in fucking North America. And Palestinians were like, yeah, a lot of us live all over the world now for some reason.
Funny thing. Yeah, we left. Yeah. You want to hazard a guess as to why?
Yeah.
Were you always asking us why we don't just leave?
Yeah. Isn't that what you want?
Mm-hmm. A user with the handle at AmericanGuyX, for example.
Well, see, for me, I'm like, do you really need to look into it to know?
It's just funny when you do. Who represents themselves
at American Love Burger said.
Who represents themselves as, quote, a Florida guy, regularly posted in support of Trump and Musk while denouncing figures including George Soros and fear-mongering about the U.S. national debt.
Oh, shit.
Their location, according to X, is India. On Saturday, Trump shared an X post from at Trump Army about a Supreme Court ruling on Truth Social. That person, who has more than 500,000 followers, also lives in India. And a now suspended account with the handle at American and a profile image of a bald eagle superimposed on an American flag traced back to Pakistan.
At American.
Just American.
How did you get at
this
American?
Is all Apu. I know. This is all Apu wearing the hat with the, yeah, with the stars and stripes on it. Other accounts featuring MAGA slogans, American flag emojis, references to the American Revolution, and Trump-favored words such as patriot were found to be run by users in places including Nigeria, Turkey, Ukraine, Thailand, and the United Kingdom.
Fucking shocking, bro.
Quite a few have substantial followings and at some point alluded to voting for Trump in 2024, despite evidently lacking U.S. citizenship. Mm. There was evidence, too, that more of these inauthentic profiles are springing up every day and often rebranding to gain a wider audience. Mm. The MAGA account Charlie's Voice Rising, or at Charlie K News, which uses an avatar of slain right-wing activist Charlie Kirk and has nearly 200,000 followers, was created less than a year ago by someone in Eastern Europe, and the handle has been changed multiple times.
God. Oh, so stupid. I love
it. Used to be like a Taylor Swift fan account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Musk has yet to comment on the About This Account feature, though it revealed that at CB Doge, a pro-Trump user with 1.7 million followers that he regularly amplifies, is located in India.
Yeah. Dude, you again, know what? Stupid to... or like, I mean, because clearly like this is very counter to his entire project with Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like it
the
just whole,
he
feels...
tried to back out of the sale. He tried to back out of the sale because of the bots, remember?
Yes. I mean, that was his whole thing. I mean, this feels like one of his underlings doing a thing, thinking that anything that he did was in good faith and like accidentally just like exposing the whole project. I don't know. It feels like completely unforced in so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's fun though. So that's all that really matters.
Yes. As for users exposed as non-Americans, some damage control has been in order. After it was shown to be based in Nigeria, the person behind at Honeymoon250, a large MAGA account with an AI-generated avatar of a white woman, edited their bio to claim that they are a registered nurse who has worked with a non-governmental organization in Africa for the past 6 years.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, very fun. It's very, very, it's all happening on X.
It's the everything app, man. I guess it's also the everywhere app.
It's a human centipede Ouroboros.
Yeah. Like,
look at all the stuff I'm mad about.
I'm sad that Linda Yaccarino isn't on there anymore, because it'd be fun to find out that Linda Yaccarino is actually just like a Nigerian guy being like, hot dog.
That's true. I have never seen her.
We don't know for sure that she really exists, right?
We did see her in that one video where she had to cover for Musk when he told all the advertisers to fuck off. And then she was like, no, it's true. We've been held hostage, while it actually looked like she was being held hostage. Like it looked like a hostage video.
A gun to the head in the shadow.
Everything she's ever done looks like a hostage video. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of her like default mode.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now we got a new guy and he's
what we really need to see is a debate between Barry Weiss and Linda Yaccarino and Alan Dershowitz, just all, and Dana Loesch, just all on stage together, you know, talking about hot dogs, or maybe like what is their favorite Thanksgiving side.
Talking about airport books.
Mm-hmm. Alan Dershowitz is probably, you know, he loves the pierogies.
Sure.
Can you eat a pierogi for Thanksgiving? It seems like it all right.
I mean, if you're Polish, you can do anything stupid you want. Because that's part of your culture.
I'm thankful for light bulbs.
You only have to turn once. Because it's hard.
I didn't have time to make the pierogies. I was too busy turning the house.
I turned the whole house to make a light bulb in.
I will...
I'm thankful for the screen door of my submarine.
I'll never understand the dumb Polish punchline.
Dude, I
love it, though.
No, I think I do understand it because, Brenda, did you see the article about Rob Gronkowski's dad and, like, the house he built for his sons, for his large sons?
For his large
baby Gronk?
Adolescent sons.
Yeah, all of his various baby Gronks.
It's just got a pig pen of baby Gronks.
I got to find it. Hold on. I got to find it. I know you have to leave, Matt, but I got
to. I have to leave.
Come on. Just this one last thing.
One last thing. You find it. You find this fucking pig pen.
What do you think
that
drywall looks like? Just fully caved in.
It's just running through walls.
Yeah. I mean, just like five boys. Like, they're probably just constantly wrestling and like headbutting the drywall.
Many boys.
Rob Gronkowski's dad built a custom double width house for his giant sons and
double
said they
width house. What, I don't even know what single width is. What's single width?
I don't know. Like, yeah, what is
it? Like a double wide trailer?
Yeah, or? What is a standard width for a house?
I don't know. Just we need a house, but something a little thicky.
According to Jones, Gordy Gronk. First of all, his name's Gordy Gronkowski, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Gordy built the house in 2002 with double width hallways, extra tall doors, and huge rooms. Gordy told Jones that, quote, the movers loved it because they could easily move furniture through the open spaces.
Yeah, that does sound like that alone. I'm like, okay, I'm with you.
Each of the Gronkowski children had a king size bed, and one room alone held three beds. Gordy said, however, that the bedrooms weren't designated. The Gronkowski children simply slept where they crashed.
Yeah, just like whenever they get a little sleepy.
It's
like
literally
dogs.
A pig pen for baby Gronks.
No, they're like dogs. Yeah. They're sleepier.
They slept in any of them, Gordy told Jones.
Can you make ground bed?
Wherever they crashed that night, they crashed. Jones tweeted on Sunday that it was as if Gordy had raised, quote, giant cats.
That was close enough.
The backyard had a full baseball field, a tennis and basketball court, a pool, and a hot tub.
What do you need a full baseball field?
There's only five of them.
Just so your five large sons could stand in a circle with like pots on their heads crashing into each other.
Dad, make more sons. We need to make use of this baseball field. This sucks.
This only further is evidence in favor of my theory that the Gronkowskis don't shake hands or hug. They 69. They like lift each other up and invert and go.
The basement had
that's the Gronkowski handshake.
The basement had a professional grade gym with about $80,000 worth of equipment, fitting as Gordy ran and operated a chain of gyms. As Jones wrote, the Gronkowski family tree. Is built solely of trunks. Gordy was described as 6'3" and 235 pounds.
That is not what a family tree.
Yeah.
A family tree. This family tree is all trunks. Those are that just means it's a different tree.
Diane Gronkowski.
Well, to be clear, we are not related. We are literally stolen. My dad just stole the fattest orphan at every orphanage throughout the United States.
He raised them all in his headbutt room.
Yeah.
Diane Gronkowski was asked about raising five huge sons. She said that she had two full-size refrigerators and freezers and that she planned out meals at least a day in advance. She added that she used to go through 2 gallons of milk every day.
Oh my God!
It was
it's like livestock.
They're drinking from those like huge bottles that they give to like baby rhinos.
What do you do if one of your sons just wants to be?
They just come in from playing and they feed him out of like a huge feeder bottle.
This is like the most insane thing I've ever heard. Also, it's like. Were the sons already born and then they built this fucking pig house? Or was it like...
yes. Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't like, we plan on having lots of hog sons.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I don't know. It doesn't say. Well, he said he built it in 2002. When was Gronkowski born? No, he was probably like 10 when he built this house.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's. You know
I think
what?
That's. I believe that's the same story where they interviewed his high school basketball coach, who then related the story that they were way up in a basketball game and there was only a few seconds left and they had 67 points and Gronk got fouled. They had 68 points and Gronk got fouled. Swishes the first free throw, gets his 69 points, and then just chucks the ball off the backboard and starts backpedaling to get back on defense, just pointing at the scoreboard.
Yes.
That's great. You're right about the Polish. You know, you are.
What we can learn about the Polish from the Gronkowski clan.
I love it. I love them as the representatives of all of Poland. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been a pod, or at least it has to be. Everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I want everyone to stuff that turkey like it's Vince's mom. Mm-hmm. I want
have
everyone.
Sex with your uncle.
Yeah, to have sex with your uncle too, molester style. patreon.com/Rockcast, rockcast@gmail.com for your questions, comments, concerns. Vince, what is a Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, Brendan, take us on out of this bitch.
Damn, Unc.
Jesus.
Thanks for listening. Have a great Thanksgiving. And until next week, good night and good chins.